Good morning.
Good morning.
I am very honored to be here with you and my esteemed colleagues, and frankly quite humbled to be on a panel with such accomplished healthographers. I'm from Prevention Institute, and we are a California-based national nonprofit organization, and our focus is really on community and understanding how poverty and racism and the really fundamental inequitable distribution of wealth and power and resources and opportunity plays out at the community level in a way that fundamentally impacts health and safety, particularly for disenfranchised communities, and really developing tools and information to help make it practical about what to do in those communities. I've decided to do this a little bit like speed dating today because, you know, I'm sure some of you are familiar with some of these approaches, and no doubt by the end of this you'll be much more familiar with the nitty-gritty of how this can really work on the ground because my colleagues are doing a lot of that work. But what I want to do is share a number of tools and frameworks with you that some of you may be familiar with, but that we hope we've spent time developing to help really make the case and help people understand why a focus on community. So I'm going to go through some of these pretty quickly and not kind of at the depths that they're warranted. So I have no disclosures to claim. So one of the things we talk about, we do this kind of game sometimes, which we don't have time to really do, but starting to understand what does health have to do with the community environment. Here you can see hikers and bikers move to the side of the road when a vehicle approaches, which means you have the choice between being hit by a car or eaten by a crocodile. Here you can beat diabetes by buying 5 Junior Frosties for only $1. And here, because soccer's my favorite sport, soccer not allowed, only on the archery range. And this notion of now you can pay your rent and eat because of the low cost of unhealthy foods. And finally, socializing young people to go into the criminal justice system through this abominable plague structure. In fact, our neighborhoods are killing people. And one of the tools we use to talk about this we call take 2 steps to prevention. By way of illustration, when we have an illness or an injury, typically our response is to think about what to do in the medical system. And of course, this is incredibly important when you need medical services. But if we take a step to the exposures and the behaviors, we can understand that something else is going on that contributed to that injury or illness in the first place. And by doing this, we can take a step back and understand that that kind of behavior is actually a risk for multiple illnesses and injuries. But we can also go one step further, and we can understand what's going on in the environment that's contributing to those behaviors and exposures. In this case, drive-in whiskey. So looking at that environment is really a key opportunity for prevention. And the availability, for example, of alcohol in the environment is one example of what's sold and how it's promoted in communities. And that's one part of our community health framework. And in fact, we know that what's sold and promoted varies widely by community. And here you can see the difference between low-wealth neighborhoods and high-wealth neighborhoods. So that the high-wealth neighborhoods have the abundance of supermarkets where you could tend to get healthier, fresher, more affordable foods. The carry-out eating places may be almost the same, but a few more in low-wealth and making up for the lack of supermarkets. And really more than 3 times the availability of alcohol. So communities can do something about this. This is just one small example, though was pretty important, in South LA when the Community Coalition South Central LA when the Community Coalition went out and interviewed community residents and said, what's really going on in your community? And people talked about the high availability of alcohol. And in that one neighborhood in Los Angeles, there were more alcohol outlets than in the entire state of Pennsylvania. So this group really started working with community residents with a goal of really reducing the density of alcohol. And this was really following the civil unrest in the early 90s in Los Angeles. And after a number of businesses had been burned down, there was a push to try to get them reopened. And they really worked on advocacy to make sure that they weren't reopened as liquor stores in the community. Over a three-year period, 200 liquor stores were shut down or not reopened, and they were able to document a 27% reduction of crime within a four-block radius of each of those closed liquor stores. As I said, this is just one element of community health. We've identified 13 within these three categories, and I'll talk about them a little bit more because we've put them into a tool that we call Thrive, the Tool for Health and Resilience in Vulnerable Environments. We first developed this tool about a little over 10 years ago for the U.S. Office of Minority Health as a tool to really advance outcomes for racial and ethnic minorities at the community level. It's a framework to develop local strategies to address poor health and advance equity, and it's designed to be used by community members, coalitions, public health practitioners, and local decision makers. And it really focuses on these three interrelated parts of community, which is the people, or the social cultural environment, the place, which is the physical or built environment, and equitable opportunity, which is the economic environment. So things like, do people know and trust each other? Do they have the willingness and capacity to make change? And I think Bea will talk a lot about the real key importance of this cluster. Place, parks and open space, look, feel, safety. How do people get around? Is there affordable, safe housing? Again, what's sold and how it's promoted, all these elements that are part of the physical space but really fundamentally, again, impacted by structural factors that play out at the community level. And again, equitable opportunity. So we've put this into a five-step process for communities, which you can see here, and really the Thrive tool itself is step three, which is the assessment. And you're not going to be able to read this at all, but to give you a sense of the tool and the notion that, of course, in communities these factors can vary, so we give communities the opportunity to write in their own factors, either at the cluster level or the overall community level. Right now we're partnering with the National Network of Public Health Institutes with funding from the Office of Minority Health to train institutes for them to use this tool in communities they're serving around the country. And just to give you an example of how this plays out in one community we worked in, this is a community-driven livability initiative where we used Thrive as the opportunity for folks to really understand what is that community environment and how does it affect their livability and their health and their safety. We had community forums where we utilized this, and then that informed the development of task forces to develop strategies to put in front of the community at a community charrette where we had hundreds of people who came and people advocating for their strategies and then a vote. And the county supervisor who had started this process committed to implementing the top five strategies. And you can see the last one here, which is a teen center in Ashland. And I'll say that Ashland and Cherryland, which are two neighborhoods that, you know, ended up being prioritized, have some of the most disparate health outcomes in the state of California. This teen center was actually developed and very youth-driven. So the architects met with the young people and really designed it around the needs and desires and interests of young people. So it now sits on county property, connected to parks, connected to school property, and one young person who helped to move this forward has said, "This has transformed our whole neighborhood. Now I feel safe enough to walk alone." So that's a very quick overview of some of the tools we have. A very quick overview of some others is a textbook. These are all on our website, too. The health equity guide that came out of Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and how do you really apply a health equity lens to community strategies that we helped develop. We have a health equity and prevention primer where you can get credits online for participation. And then the notion of what's the role of healthcare and community prevention and how can they be part of these solutions moving forward, including a paper that we just authored with Tony Eiten from the California Endowment on how do we start to recoup the savings from those investments and put them back into prevention. And finally, examples of communities around the country taking action to improve health outcomes. So this is our website where you can get more information on these, and I'm also happy to take your cards afterwards and provide additional information. Thank you.